Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Tony Bruno is with us from the Gulf of America.
Gulf of America.
Damn right.
I'm going to put a new map on my wall so I know all the localities. We did have a good Greenland breakdown segment today.
Yes.
And I encourage people to watch that documentary on Prime Video on Greenland. It's a series, and it's pretty interesting. The guy's a weirdo, but it's interesting. Narwhals. Now, I know that there are people who know what a narwhal is without having to watch Elf.
Okay.
Dawn knows what a narwhal is, right, Dawn?
Probably, yeah. She's probably refilling in the kitchen right now with some narwhal. let me get your thoughts on it. I remember you saying this years ago, because one of the things, not to be like creepy or anything, but one of the things that I first remember when I heard the name Tony Bruno, I was like, man, that guy's got a great radio voice. And you had said that you were a smoker for many years, but you have quit long, long, long ago. So I was curious your thoughts on this story, because Joe Biden, with 12 days to go, is working to effectively ban cigarettes. And according to a lot of the experts on certain markets, they're saying that this would be like a gift to the cartels and the drug community, because obviously nicotine is a drug. Your thoughts, because I swear to God, Tony, like I think I saw a number, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, only 11% of Americans still smoke cigarettes. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I didn't get my deep voice because I smoke cigarettes.
No,
I mean, I don't know how it happened, but, you know, I haven't smoked, as you mentioned, for 30 years. So I was smoking as a young kid, but it never really, because if you listen to tapes of me back in the 1970s, I sound exactly the same now as I did then when I was 20 years old. And so I don't, does it happen? Most, you know, people's voices change. You can usually tell an older person when you listen to them. And it's not just the voice or the vocal cords. It's a lot of things. It's their mannerisms. It's their speech patterns. But I've always tried to be focusing on diction first and foremost. And that's what I learned. That's how I became not a great public speaker, but that's how I was told this is the way you need to be on radio so that you sound good. People can understand you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the South Philly accent, you got to get rid of that because it's a, you know, and again, I can still do the South Philly accent.
Right.
I don't look down on any accents. But to me, I was taught sound like you're smart, look like you're smart. I failed at those two things.
Same here.
But I did have a lovely speaking voice and average intelligence, which I believe back then was the first thing you needed to do to succeed in this industry.
That's still all you need today is a decent voice and average intelligence, and you get a show or a podcast. Everybody's getting a show these days.
You don't even need that to have a podcast. Anybody can do a podcast.
You're damn right. But it's just laughable to me. So in the last couple of days, we talked about the story. I think you were with us on Monday when we talked about this. The Surgeon General wants to put cancer warnings and labels on alcohol now. Biden's trying to ban cigarettes, and yet we have nothing on these pharmaceuticals. And I know the legalities, and they're protected with immunity and things like that. But, I mean, if you don't know at this point in your life, however old you might be, that smoking cigarettes could be bad for you. And again, at the end of the day, these bans never work anyway. We always end up with all these unintended consequences from it anyway. And to be honest, I don't even, there's like one person in my life that I know that smokes cigarettes. It's my mother-in-law. Other than that, I don't have anybody in my circle that smokes cigarettes. This seems like a wasted venture with 12 days to go.
Of course it is. It's ridiculous. All these things are wasted ventures, you know, releasing Guantanamo Bay inmates and all these other things. These aren't even virtue signals. These are insanity. This is a man losing his mind at the very end of a rope. And so I don't get it, but a lot of presidents go, when they go out, they do their thing. But the Biden stuff is just insane. He goes out to California and then he sends a text to Gavin Newsom that don't worry, we're going to send you money. You know, and then Gavin Newsom's bragging about Biden's going to go send him more money. Biden's sending everybody more money except the people that need it. Mm-hmm. You know, the homeless people who were living and starting fires out in San Diego and starting wildfires all over the state of California. You know, the people living in RVs on the Pacific Coast highways, the people in North Carolina who are still waiting for more than. I wonder if Biden's going to bring out $700 checks to all those people in Pacific Palisades as a lovely parting gift like he did for hurricane victims here in Florida and North Carolina.
No,
you know, that's the problem people have with government. Mm-hmm. The government gives money to things that they don't understand, that people don't. People want the government to take care of them, not to basically run their lives, but to do what they're supposed to do. Provide us protection, fire protection, clean streets, you know, utilities that work. That's what the government's job is. Not telling us what to eat, drink, or smoke. Mm-hmm. And the cigarette thing, remember, Biden first wanted to get rid of menthol cigarettes, and then he realized it was racist because the majority of black people prefer, based on all the information that I've seen, menthol cigarettes. Mm-hmm. So once he found out that African Americans smoke menthol cigarettes primarily and mostly, then he had to back off on that because it wasn't cool.
Yep.
So Biden is the worst president in my lifetime. I mean, Jimmy Carter was back in the 70s, but there's no doubt Joe Biden was the worst president. He finally got what he spent his entire rotten career in Delaware, in the Senate, grifting on everything. And he's going out the way he came in, as a career loser politician with no skills, an angry old man. It was an angry young man, and now he's going out an angry old man.
Name me a time.
Exactly. All right, let's get to this. I thought this was fascinating, and I knew it wouldn't take very long. Sunday, the NFL wrapped up their regular season, and usually when a franchise knows they're going in a different direction in their front office or their head coach, the day after is called Black Monday, where people get fired, and then they begin putting out the leaks and the reports of so-and-so is interested in this coach who could be available. And immediately on Sunday, when the New England Patriots and Robert Kraft fired Gerard Mayo, I knew that somebody at ESPN or in sports media would immediately play the race card. I thought it would be Ryan Clark or Mina Kimes, but no, it was Stephen A. Smith, who said that if, you know, I'm basically paraphrasing here, he hates the term Black Monday because he feels like it's biased towards firing African-American coaches that fail because they don't get the same rope that white coaches do as far as, you know, a second or a third year. But he was actually fact-checked, Stephen A. Smith, by his own colleague at ESPN, Adam Schefter. And I've got the tweet right here. There has now been a one-and-done coach who was fired after 1 year in each of the last 4 years, and there's a total of six of them. In 2024, you had Gerard Mayo. In 2023, you had Frank Wright, who is white. In 2022, you had Lovie Smith, who is black, and Nathaniel Hackett, who is white. In 2021, you had David Culley, who is black, and Urban Meyer, who is white. Three white coaches, three black coaches in the last 4 years fired after one bad season. So facts matter, and it's not about race. It is about, you know what, on second thought, this guy's probably in over his head. Are you surprised at all that we are still dealing with the immediate pivot to race in sports in a league which, by the way, Tony, you know better than anybody, you can turn things around in one offseason if you get the right coach?
Absolutely. I'm surprised because Stephen A. has been, you know, the thing about Stephen A. Smith, he even came out publicly and said in his new ESPN contract, he wants to be able to do other things other than just talk about LeBron James 24/7 on the air or play the race card on the air. He's been going on News Nation and all these other shows talking about politics and about, you know, the Democrats and the way they screw it up. So he's been pretty wide, you know, he's pretty open-minded when he would talk about the differences, you know, blaming the Republicans or Democrats. But this question, I talked about it on this show on Monday when we were together, when Greg wasn't in, the whole Black Monday thing. We call it Black Friday, you know, and when we had Black Friday after Thanksgiving, everybody, you know, examined the reasons why it was called that. Black Monday has nothing to do with race. Because before there were black coaches, it was called Black Monday. That's the day after the NFL season ends and coaches get fired. Mm-hmm. It happens every single year. It's happened for decades. And now all of a sudden, because a black coach who the owner of the Patriots said, I made a mistake. I didn't give him the chance to do it right. He even admitted he made a mistake. So we've moved on. The whole thing about black quarterbacks, about Notre Dame, you know, and Penn State having black coaches, we're way beyond that. Nobody looks at how many black starting quarterbacks there are in the NFL anymore because it used to be a rarity. Now it's commonplace. So that era is past. That whole trope of, you know, blacks don't get an opportunity to move up. Blacks are in charge in front offices. They're coaches, they're assistant coaches. The majority of the players are African-American. So that nonsense doesn't hold water anymore. That's why people get sick and tired of sports. You know, with the end racism still in the end zone. Stop hate. All of this virtue signaling. You're not going to stop hate by putting it in the end zone of NFL NFL arenas and stadiums.
I know.
It's just a joke.
I agree.
Just do your job.
I agree.
And by the way, the guy who said do your job, Gus Bradley, remember when the Eagles, everybody wanted the Eagles to hire him when he was in Seattle?
He just got
fired as a defensive coordinator.
Yep.
So everybody gets fired in the NFL, and especially if the head coach doesn't get fired, to save his butt, he gets his assistant coaches fired, so it looks like he's going to make an upgrade at the different positions.
That's right.
That's the way it's always been
in
professional sports and especially in the NFL.
Exactly right. Tony Bruno joining us live from Florida, the Gulf of America adjacent from his humble abode as he does every Wednesday. Morning mystery movie clip coming up in about 5 minutes, and then we'll get to a big three with Dawn after that. Looks like now, and Tony will hang with us through the big three, I want to go back to the big news story of the day here for a moment, because we do have some developments. Now a fourth wildfire has kind of broken contained, so to speak, in California, and they are saying that this is now the worst case scenario. Gusts up to 103 miles per hour. By the way, because you spent many years out in California in this vicinity, how close were you to any of these locales that are being immediately impacted?
Well, I lived on the west side of L.A. I lived in Santa Monica. I lived in the Marina del Rey and then Venice Beach. But I was always, you know, I would go ride my bike up the Venice boardwalk all the way north to Santa Monica, up to the Pacific Palisades, all the way up. So all of those locations, especially on the PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway, you know, I've seen many fires driving home from work. I actually stopped one night when I was leaving Sherman Oaks, the Fox Radio studios, driving down to the marina, and there was fires on the side of the road there where the Getty Museum, the Getty Mansion is, and the fires this time actually went across the 405, and the PCH, the ocean is on one side, and a lot of those places like Duke's, Malibu, and all the locations that Robin and I used to go and have dinner, just one of the most spectacular visual places to be on Earth, to drive on the Pacific Coast Highway north or south. But, you know, all of this stuff is going south. And all those locations in Southern California, the Palisades never gets hit by fires because they're up in the hills, and there's a lot of businesses, there's a lot of homes there. So it's the winds whipping the winds, and then the rains, and all of the charred. And if you watch the videos, if you watch the scenes, any kind of fire that has the wind whipping them, it just makes it spread everywhere. And they couldn't get fire. You know, in the middle of the night, it's dark. They're not getting helicopters or planes to drop water in darkness. It's too dangerous. And the heat rises. So you can't get those low-flying fire planes coming in. They suck the water out of the ocean and then come over and drop it down. But it's going to be, as the dawn is close to breaking in Los Angeles, in Southern California, the scenes today are going to be some of the most scariest things ever. And the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, along with Gavin Newsom, the governor, are absolutely going to get torched today all over the world. She goes to Ghana to go to a presidential inauguration while her city burned. Now, she didn't know her city was burning.
Right.
But, you know, when Ted Cruz got ripped because he was out of the state during an ice storm a couple of years ago, everybody must be treated equally. Karen Bass, you know, should have lost the election. And the guy who lost the election to her was going on TV last night talking about how there was no water in Pacific Palisades where he lives to put out fires.
Yep.
So if you're going to do things to get rid of water and have the water run out and don't fill up the reservoirs, you can't complain about, you're doing everything right. Gavin Newsom has been an absolute disaster as governor. And everybody who's been in L.A., who lives in L.A., and who knows it, who doesn't work for the California Democratic Party, knows what an absolute abject joke Gavin Newsom and his administration are.
And you know who's a certified winner and an absolute stud in the face of natural disasters? Well, that would be...
Mustard.
Ron DeSantis, a man who deals with all those hurricanes, and you can attest to first and foremost. Lastly, on a lighter note, I want to wrap with this, Bruno. You mentioned Venice Beach. Hulk Hogan was once billed from Venice Beach, California. Hulk Hogan was once America's media darling, the face of wrestling. And then he's had scandals for sure, and they've been chronicled and documented. And then he appeared on Monday Night Raw on Netflix. And this is after supporting and endorsing Donald Trump at the RNC. Now, keep in mind, venue setting matters. Maybe this reaction wouldn't be the same if he was in, you know, Tallahassee, Florida. But he's in Los Angeles, the big debut of the WWE on Netflix. He comes out, and Phil Omquist, this is the way, speaking of Los Angeles and California, this is the way California is treating an American institution like Hulk Hogan. Listen and watch this. Wearing the Real American Beer shirt, a beer company founded, I believe, by conservatives. Trying to make a few bucks in the Bud Light Dylan Mulvaney post-debacle.
By the way, you see who's waving the American flag as he came out of the tunnel?
Jimmy, the mouth of the South Heart.
Yeah. Listen, this Undertaker rolled in with his big hog at that event. This is like the rebirth of the WWE for the 15th time. And obviously they're going to boo him. Remember, Hogan was a hero, then he was a heel. That's wrestling. That's all. So to me, thinking that they were really booing Hulk Hogan because he supported Donald Trump,
I don't know.
Way past that stuff. Crowds boo. I remember ECW. That's why ECW at the old ECW arena, now the 2300 arena, that's when wrestling got a new rebirth with the birth of ECW in Philadelphia and South Philly with the great Jim. What was his name? Judd Styles?
Joey Styles.
Yep. Joey Styles.
Look at that.
So if you think people booing Hulk Hogan at a Netflix WrestleMania event or Monday Night Raw event, if you buy that as being because they hate him because he supported Donald Trump,
I think that's exactly what
it was. You obviously don't know your wrestling, Nick.
Then I know nothing about wrestling, Tony, because I think that's everything to do with it, damn it. Unbelievable.
Wrestling's still real to me, man.
It's real to me, too.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Big 3 and 9 on Kale and Company.
Sponsored by Meineke. So in the news, updating you on now a fourth wildfire is burning with tens of thousands of Californians. It's a mandatory evacuation for them. Hundreds of thousands of Californians affected by these raging wildfires, fueled by winds with up to 100 mile an hour gusts. And we're hearing now that firefighters are running out of water. So these powerful winds whipping up these flames around Pasadena, the Pacific Palisades, the Sylmar neighborhoods. This is of Los Angeles, mostly west of L.A., forcing. And now the number, 6 a.m., it was 49,000. Now it's 80,000 residents who have been evacuated so far. And these are mandatory evacuations. So these are fast-moving fires, and these things are spreading. It's I don't have reports of anybody killed.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are now some reports, and there's one on social media where these two men and a dog, looks like a Labrador retriever, some kind of dog like that, and they're trapped. They're in their home. They shut off all the gas, but they can't escape.
Unbelievable. In a nation like the United States of America, in a state where Gavin Newsom talks about how great the economy is in California, they've run out of water. Can't make this up.
Says, and so the gridlock, another problem is for people who want to escape. We talked about this very early this morning, the gridlock, because people got on the road and then left. So now they're bringing out bulldozers to try to just bulldoze some of those vehicles.
Good.
Just to clear the roads for emergency vehicles to make their way through.
Yeah. Cars are replaceable. Humans are not.
My God. So it's it really does, as Tony Bruno said earlier, hellfire, apocalyptic. Those are some of the terms that you're seeing. But that one video that has gone viral, and I think Fox 11 in L.A. had it, that they were airing it with two men and the dog in there, and they're showing the dog's kind of coughing, and they're comforting the dog, but they're showing that people are trapped. Those who've stayed, there's nowhere to go. I'll point out to you, because we talked about the water heaters the water tanks, that if you at least have, you know, some, if you have one of those water heaters that's just the electric unit and it's not a water tank, you have no water in the house.
Amazing.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At least if you have a huge tank, you have some water there.
Thankfully, I've never had to deal with this. I know, Tony, you had to deal with it on a different front in Florida with the hurricanes and, you know, recommendations and, you know, risk reward. But, man, when they say it's, you know, of dire consequences and dire straits, get going, get the hell out. I know you stayed in Florida and you were fine because of how high your property is. But, man, in California, if they're telling me to leave, I am out of there quick, fast, and in a hurry.
You're right, but the thing with this situation, Nick, is that it normally doesn't happen this time of the year. This is the dry season, but normally these types of fires happen in like August, September, you know, when the temperatures are still hot, but the air is, you know, the air is not humid. And so it's the winds coming from the desert, the Santa Ana winds, as they call them. That's basically what keeps these fires going and makes them spread, because the water usually coming in from the ocean or from Santa Monica Bay keeps it cool. But when the wind's blowing the other way from the desert toward the ocean, that means all of those higher elevation places where people like to live in the hills, whether it's, you know, Pacific Palisades, whether it's Malibu, all of those places are tinderboxes. And if you watch the videos and you see the flames are just being pushed by 70 mile an hour winds and all of the brush is there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are trying to place blame on this, that, or whatever. The fact is California does not maintain its wildfire areas. And they know every year there's going to be wildfires. This fire was much more difficult and different because no one expected ever to go into Pacific Palisades in those hills, which rarely, if ever, are affected by fires. And there's a lot of people living close together in big mansions, and those are the ones you see going down now. So, and then the insurance issues. A lot of people don't get insurance once your house burns down. That happens in Florida with hurricanes, and it happens in California, you know, when you have wildfires. So every area has its own things to deal with. California, I saw many wildfires when I lived there for 11 years, but nothing like this. This is absolute. This is a hellscape. And when you see the videos and when it gets lighter and we start seeing the aftermath and how, when these fires, there was 0% containment as of 1 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
So now that it's getting light out,
right,
you'll be able to bring in the, you know, the big air the big air carriers and the big helicopters to drop water and try to get this thing under control. But it's going to take days, and who knows how long before most of these people will have a home to go back to.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, Dawn, the visuals will be very, very, very disturbing because it's only 6:33 out there. You know, the sun's just starting to come up.
That's true.
Yeah.
We do have breaking news this morning. Within the past hour or so, President-elect Donald J. Trump, his attorneys filing an emergency petition all the way up to the top highest court in the land. This is SCOTUS, the United States Supreme Court, this morning. What they're trying to do is block the sentencing phase of the case that is ruled by Judge Juan Merchan in New York v. Trump. So earlier this morning, I had reported in one of our early news that, in fact, Juan Merchan and the, you know, Trump's team had lost in court their bid to try to get rid of or appeal the sentencing set for this Friday, January the 10th. So Juan Merchan, that court set Trump's sentencing for this Friday morning after the jury found the now president-elect guilty, they say, of falsifying those business records from a case that stems back to nearly 20 years ago. And so this all stems from Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's investigation that was launched. And as we know, Letitia James in that area had campaigned on taking down Trump. In any event, Trump has pleaded not guilty to all charges, appealed the ruling rejected last week by Merchan, and now they're teeing this up for the Supreme Court. So SCOTUS now will rule on this.
And for a second time, tell Judge Juan Merchan, and then Merchan will defy it. But, I mean, it's all going to come to a head and basically wrap up in, what, 11 days?
Yes.
I mean,
And quickly, number three, Girl Scout cookie season is upon us. But if you like those Toast Yay cookies or the s'mores, they'll be discontinued after this year. So Girl Scout cookie, I love the Thin Mints. We're sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear that squeal or a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians, they're going to diagnose the problem. Find a location near you, Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring our Big Three.
Thank you very much, Dawn. Thank you very much, Tony Bruno. Great stuff as always, and we'll chat again next week, bud.
All right, be safe out there, and I think more snow coming, so
get the
stuff out. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, just be
right.
careful.
Friday
there
night.
You go. Tony Bruno live from the Gulf of America. Which the suits were just walking by saying we might have a remote from the Gulf of America coming up very soon.
Sweet.
Not joking. All right, so let's get to it. First Wednesday of every month, it is our 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight, brought to you by the great folks at Window Nation. For all of your window and door needs, visit windownation.com. As now you will see on camera, we have Gabe Rangel joining us, part of the Travis Mannion Foundation, and it's great to see you again. I know we've done a lot before, and perhaps a surprise on the way. How you doing, pal?
Pretty good. How you doing? Thanks
I'm
for having me.
I'm doing good. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, you as well.
Good holiday?
Oh, yeah.
All right, beautiful.
I love it.
So, for those who don't know, and maybe haven't listened to past TMFs, you are and were a United States Marine Corps vet from 2005 to 2011, and you had two tours, Iraq in 2008, Afghanistan in 2010. And I'm looking at all of your specialty training, and right off the top, talk about perfect timing. Sadly, you were a fire support specialist. So what do we say we put you on the Odyssey corporate jet, and we jettison you out to Los Angeles right now, and you can help fight this natural disaster?
Man, I'm actually originally from California.
And Are you really?
Yeah, and I lived in L.A. for a while, so it's tough to see all that stuff. It's brutal. But crazy enough, the fire support specialist is actually calling for fire from artillery and aircraft. So kind of the opposite. We're not
different.
We're trying
different.
To create fires almost with that instead of put them out. But it's tough. All the prayers out to those people in California.
For sure. I also see that you're a black belt instructor.
Martial arts. Yes. Yeah. So the Marine Corps has something called the Marine Corps Martial Art program. And I was our unit's instructor. So had to go get everything down on that.
Big story today and yesterday was the fact that Mark Zuckerberg has restored speech on Facebook. Now, from what we gather, Mark Zuckerberg is very good in martial arts. I might have to set odds right now. You're a black belt instructor. Zuckerberg apparently knows his stuff. I got you as a solid favorite. You think you could take Zuck out in a little martial arts?
No problem. About 5 seconds. He's done.
I love it.
I think the audience would love that.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I think they would absolutely love
the confidence.
and a Marine Corps expert parachutist. You couldn't give me $100 right now to parachute off of this broadcast desk because I'm so petrified of heights. What is it about that I'm assuming you've done it before, and I've been told when you're up there, like, you don't even realize, like, that you're just, I don't know if it's floating is the right terminology. I would be so petrified. And I've also been told, and you tell me if this is correct, even if you're in like a panic attack and all of a sudden you're like, God forbid, you have a heart attack because you can't handle the fear, the parachute actually goes off automatically at some point.
Yeah. So there's different type of platforms that you're jumping off. And if you're pulling, so a halo jump is a high altitude, low opening, meaning you are pulling it for you.
Okay.
For yourself, you're pulling it for yourself, but you're jumping at 10,000 feet.
10,000.
When you first go in and you get qualified and a jump qualification, it pulls it for you. So yeah. You literally just jump out, you hold down, and the chute comes up for you because it's a static line. So your thing's already hooked up. So okay. It pulls automatically.
Very interesting.
So yeah, there's nothing normal about jumping out of a perfectly good plane. But a lot of people, funny enough, it sounds crazy, but a lot of people are actually afraid of heights that are still jumping. And it's just one of those things, like, again.
And then they realize it wasn't that bad?
I don't know if it's not that bad. It just happens so quick. And what else are you going to do? You just get into your head and you're like, hey, it's going to open. I'm going to get on the floor soon. So be it.
Well, give me the time frame of that, from when you jump out to you pull the chute, or it automatically goes out and then you get feet back on solid ground. What's the time frame we talking about?
It depends on the height where the winds are going. But anywhere,
let's say 10,000 feet.
10,000 feet, you're at least like 7 to 10 minutes up there.
I'd be dead in 2 minutes. My heart would explode.
You'd be good. It's a crazy experience, but it's... Yeah, so it's an insertion technique where you either get in through land, air, sea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like it's a surprise because of our unit. We were a special unit, so you have to get in inserted, obviously, so the enemy can't see you. But
amazing.
We actually didn't do any combat jumps, so it was all just training stuff anyway.
So take us back to Iraq 2008 as well as Afghanistan 2010. Your missions, the differences, the similarities in those two different deployments.
Yeah, definitely. So the enemy probably would be the biggest difference of the two. In Iraq, we were fighting AQI, which is Al-Qaeda Iraq.
Yep.
They were always having leadership problems. So we knew like the level of fighting from them to Afghanistan after I saw the Taliban. The Taliban were so much more well put together and how they fought compared to the Iraq and Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just a different escape. It was kind of cool from a history standpoint being over there. It was like ancient Mesopotamia, being in areas that no one's really seen and got to explore. But Iraq was a little bit more house to house, and there's more buildings, whereas Afghanistan, a lot more rural areas. So just a lot more fighting in the country and farmlands and stuff. But yeah, a little bit more knowledge from the Taliban fighters in Afghanistan.
Very interesting. Yeah, I ask every vet that we talk to every first Wednesday of every month, what made you serve? What led you down this path? Give us your backstory as the motivating factors.
Yeah, I mean, California, it's a rare thing, right? But my grandfather served in World War II, was a part of the Army Air Corps. So obviously in World War II, there was no Air Force, but it was the Army Air Corps at the time.
Yep.
He was a B-52 bombardier, backseater. And I just saw how his life, how he carried himself. He was always very meticulous. He was an altar server, funny enough, very, very pious man. And it was somebody I kind of, wanted to be after. And my dad always told me, like, when you die, who shows up on a Tuesday at your funeral will be a judge and an assessment of how your life went. And when he passed, I'm pretty sure the whole city came out. So I was like, this is somebody I want to kind of make my life after. And the military is what kind of started it for him. And so I thought it would be a good kickstart for me, too.
One of the sayings that you apparently use is, quote, routine, brilliant at the basics, and control the controllables. I love that. If you do morning radio, you have to have a routine or you will fail at this. And I remember when I was younger, I would always worry about, especially just starting out in broadcasting, all the things I didn't need to worry about. And then I remember somebody telling me, dude, just control the controllables. Worry about what you can control. And don't worry about anything else, and everything else will take care of itself. When you apply those principles to military life, or those are applied to you and instilled in you, and you get out, I mean, I got to imagine if you can actually execute that on a daily basis as you return to society and civilization, everything else should be able to fall in place for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think anything we do in life, whether whatever your profession is, routine is so important.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys that get out that do unfortunately have problems with PTSD, the routine kind of escapes them, because the military, one thing, it's awesome and it teaches us a lot, but it also enables us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like food is always, you know, prepared and ready at the same time. And then all of a sudden the rug's pulled out and you have to do all those things on your own. Now they might sound way easier than going to Iraq or Afghanistan and fighting a war. For some people, the routine is just so what they're used to, and they change up the routine and they're not good at adjusting. So
yeah,
creating new routines is going to create opportunity and mm-hmm. create, you know, stability in any job. So I think that's a huge thing with, you know, that we need to do. And the control, the controllables actually came from Ken Revizza, one of the great mentors, and Lane, Jalen, all the guys that I work with. We talk about those things, but it's an existential thought that came from Viktor Frankl, the book, Man's Search for Meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of, it doesn't matter what chaos is going around. If you control the moment, the past doesn't matter, and the future will only be controlled by the moment anyway.
That's right.
So you control that and you'll be good. So
yeah,
those are kind of where those things came from. And Brilliant at the Basics was, we were a special forces unit, and everyone's like, oh, you guys have cooler gear, cooler stuff. And your command would always be like, it doesn't matter, because mm-hmm. if you could shoot, move, and communicate, we're going to be better no matter what type of technology or capabilities we have. Yep. And that's what makes us the difference maker, not the mm-hmm. gear. It's yeah, still amazing. The person. Yeah.
It's really interesting too, the crossover to the military and professional sports and athletics at the highest level. When we talk about things like control the controllables, you talked about Jalen Hurts. You talked about Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson is a guy that you certainly have a relationship with. And Lane Johnson has talked about how you have made a positive impact on not only his physical health, but his mental health. Tell us a little bit about that, because I know Lane's got a big game coming up Sunday against Green Bay.
Yeah. Lane and I were kind of perfect for each other. So we met over at Jay Glazer's gym. I trained Brian Urlacher, and we met Lane through Jay.
Fox Sports NFL insider, yep, Jay Glazer.
Exactly. Yep. Actually, crazy enough, like, a big shout out to him too. He was one of the evacuated, his house. So he just called us last night, and he's safe, thank God. But
oh, it's good, because he's based in L.A.
Yeah, yes, yeah. So right. he was evacuated. But Lane and I were kind of perfect for that. You know, Lane dealt with a lot of anxiety and stuff in college, and he had to kind of deal with that throughout his not only college career, but then obviously transitioning to the NFL side.
Yeah.
And we kind of really bonded over that, because he knew that I already had experience in war, and a lot of people are like, hey, gents, we're going to war. Like, you know, it's just a common phrase in sports. And Lane was like, well, what's war like? Like, how do you deal with those type of things?
Mm-hmm.
And so I got him connected with, like I told you, the mentor, Ken Revizza's mentee, Brian Kane, and he's a sports psychologist, one of the best in the U.S. So we connected Lane and him, and we all kind of worked together on things like controlling the controllables. I had Lane read Man's Search for Meaning. And these are just tools. Like, I think a lot of psychology and psychiatry is amazing, but one thing that sports psychology, I highly recommend people to look into, is they take the step.
Mm-hmm.
Some clinical sides are just like, hey, let's talk about your problem. But I think the biggest thing is, how are we going to fix or work on a problem?
Yeah.
And we did that well with Lane and Brian Kane.
All right. Gabe Rangel served in the United States military, the Marine Corps, 2005 to 2011, deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, and making sure that our right tackle in Philadelphia is sound physically and mentally. You're a great interview, brother. Thank you so much. We'll chat again. I'm assuming you'll be here in March when we have another radiothon.
I'll be here. Yep.
All right, brother. Thank you very much.
That's it.
You got it. There he is, Gabe Rangel, joining us here for our January installment of our 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight. We'll come back, get to Phil Omquist's today in... Oh, here he comes. You want to come in now, Phil? All right.
No. We have to break first.
Okay. We'll break. We'll come back. We'll do music, and then we'll find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We got to talk about my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the very latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models have such sleek new designs as well as innovative features powered by the very latest in technology. And Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available right now across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles stands out. Visit them, Piazza, piazzapremiumautos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, as we wind things down here on a super busy, jam-packed Wednesday morning. The Dawn Show coming up here in just a matter of moments, and we'll find out what she has lined up in a moment. But before that, Phil Omquist ready for a very historic edition of What Occurred Today in Music History.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history.
January 8th, we shake, rattle, and roll and celebrate the birthdays of Mike Rito from Loverboy, who's 70, guitar man Robbie Krieger from The Doors, who's 79, and Jeff Abercrombie from Fuel. Heavenly birthday shout-outs to Luther Perkins from Johnny Cash's band, David Bowie. By the way, it's a sin, he's gone. And the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, who would have been 90 years old today. Needless to say, lots going on in Graceland today, including the annual proclamation ceremony. Their new 90 for 90 exhibit opens today. And then tonight, there's an Elvis Birthday Pops concert with the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. Yes, it's impossible to leave, but there is actually other news.
Was his last best work saved? You know, what he left in the toilet right before he died?
Stop.
Sorry.
This is why there's no cupcakes for you.
And this is why they have things called Graceland and not Gregland.
We also lost Steve Clark from Def Leppard on this day in 91. But don't cry, Daddy. Singles don't include Blue Suede Shoes, but do include Where Are We Now by Bowie in 2013, Only the Young by Journey in 85, and Sitting on the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding in 68. Albums include Black Star by Bowie in 2016, No Place to Run by UFO in 80, and Promised Land by Elvis in 1975. Also in 2001, a woman who believed Axl Rose communicated with her via telepathy was arrested after stalking him again. I'm thinking Axl thought she was a devil in disguise. In 79, Rush was named the country's official ambassador of music by the Canadian government, and that's all right. In 81, Linda Ronstadt made her Broadway debut. In 80, Prince made his TV debut. And in 74, Kiss signed their first record deal. I'm wondering if it was at the Heartbreak Hotel. But lastly, day in 66, two bands that succeeded at fame and fortune, The Who and The Kinks, were on the last episode of Shindig on ABC. For Kale and Company, with no Kentucky rain in the forecast, I'm Phil Omquist. By the way, Elvis fan Linda Kearns brought these lovely, or actually sent these lovely mini cupcakes. Mm. I was specifically told not Greg, since she hates Elvis. So, Don, you can come over here. Nick?
Yes.
Nick, I'll take a second.
Okay.
Linda Kearns up at 11 o'clock on the Dawn Show, by the way. She'll be here celebrating Elvis's, what would have been his 90th birthday, and updates on election integrity, legal updates.
Right.
So she'll be up. We also have Dr. Stephen Quay. He'll be in the 10 o'clock hour talking about COVID vax side effects. He's testified on Capitol Hill about that. And that alcohol study, does alcohol really, is it a leading cause of cancer? So we'll get into all of that, more Trump news as well.
If you want to book me as an expert on alcohol, I'm available in the 1120 block if you need me, Don. All right, that'll do it for us. Everybody have a great rest of your Wednesday. Dawn is up next. And keep watching on YouTube if you don't like the fact that Greg has to wear a mask because he's going to put it back on to leave the studio. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Take care.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.